The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Avra Lewis reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article today is titled, 10 Things We're Talking About. Number 1, Harrison for the Win. Native South Carolinian Jamie Harrison is mounting a historic Senate campaign against Republican incumbent Lindsey Graham. For the first time this century, a liberal Democrat candidate has a real shot at the seat, according to the forecast in the deep red state. Number 2, virtual visual arts. The August Wilson African American Cultural Center is now offering an innovative way to visit the museum. The Pittsburgh-based enclave is giving visitors virtual tours of its black art exhibits. Visit aacc-awc.org. Number 3, we've got mail. Senator Kamala Harris doesn't want Americans to have to choose between their health and their vote. That's why the California legislature introduced the Vote Safe Act of 2020. The measure sets aside $5 billion to expand voting options, including early in-person voting and mail-in absentee ballots for every state. Number 4, digital dinner party. Alex Heal, a Brooklyn-based amateur chef, is bringing people together through social media. Last year, HBCU grad launched Cooking with Friends, also on IG. The site is full of tutorials on how to make tasty meals on a budget. Number 5, In It Together. Carry Club, a network connecting young professionals with nonprofits they might want to support, has teamed up with Charity Navigator for a fund based on community inclusion. The campaign aims to raise $500 million to address economic and health disparities in marginalized communities. Number 6, Cuteness Overload. For the first time since launching its national search in 1928, Gerber has awarded the coveted title of Gerber Baby to an adoptee. 1-year-old Magnolia Earl beat out 327,000 entrants for the role and will now represent the brand in marketing campaigns. The company says she, quote-unquote, captured the hearts of the judging panel with her joyful expression, playful smile, and warm, engaging gaze. Number 7, We Were Here. The South Carolina African American Heritage Commission is ensuring that Black experience with the coronavirus pandemic will be recorded. Black Carolinians Speak will collect stories and visuals from the young and the old to be added to the state's Department of Archives and History. Number 8, Biden for Black America. Months away from the 2020 presidential election, former Vice President Joe Biden has outlined his plan for us. His proposal focuses on delivering equitable solutions to close racial gaps in health, education, environmental justice, and wealth. Number 9, On Historic Ground. The National Park Service has awarded $7.7 million in grants to 18 HBCUs. The funds, which were arranged by the Historic Preservation Fund, will go toward renovations that help to preserve consequential structures on campuses located throughout 12 states. And lastly, number 10, let it sink in. For more than 500,000 people residing in the U.S., regular hand washing is a luxury and not readily available. That's why activist Terrence Lester is making sure the country's homeless community has access to portable sinks. He's staging pop-up sanitation stations in states from New York to California. The next article is titled, Find a Way or Make One. Hustling in Harlem. What do Beyonce, Mary J. Blige, and Taraji P. Henson have in common? The megastars have all had their digits pampered by manicurist Lisa Logan. In 2012, Logan, now 48 years old, opened the Nail Suite by Lisa Logan, and she never looked back. But when the coronavirus swept through, nail salons were among the first establishments to close. Logan had to pivot, and fast. She found the solution while helping her newlywed daughter, who was due to give birth in June. I've long been a champion of oregano oil in my salon, says Logan. The nail artist decided to try infusing the oil, known for its antibacterial healing properties, into a soap to treat her daughter's psoriasis and eczema. A light bulb went off, she says. I started mixing oregano oil with other essential oils and, with the help of a family member, created a soap. Packed with a robust, clean, and crisp scent, the custom organic soaps are wrapped in rustic-style cheesecloth on burlap and tied with twine. My first marketing effort was a TikTok video of me making the soap, Logan recalls. It received a good response. 1 month later, Logan's oregano soap was in high demand. Taking orders online, she has shipped to California, Florida, and North Carolina. Her soap even caught the attention of Carol's daughter founder, Lisa Price, and Oprah Winfrey's pedicurist, Gloria Williams. The foot nanny ordered 50 bars. Now that her soap is so popular, Logan intends to sell it at retail price when the nail suite reopens. She sees the coming in-salon debut of the bar as a blessing. This pandemic allowed me time to be still long enough to create a product that benefits people, she explains. This was already written when she was 46 years old. This pandemic allowed me time to be still long enough to create a product that benefits people, she explains. This was already written. Working it out. When she was 46 years old, Deborah D. Williams weighed nearly 200 pounds. That was the year she buckled down and lost weight. Taking 50 of those pounds off. Folks wanted to know how I'd done it, she recalls. She started to show them, and her company, Smart Fitness, was born. SMART is an acronym for specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. Criteria that had helped Williams reach her goals. In 2009, she used the same approach to establish her business, which includes spinning, yoga, and group fitness classes, in addition to personal training. While continuing to work full-time in higher education, Williams pursued the necessary certifications and opened her brick-and-mortar Philadelphia studio in 2017. With a clientele that's 99% Black women, Williams, now 65, was making a positive impact on the wellness of her community. However, everything came to a screeching halt after the coronavirus outbreak. Her studio closed its doors in March, but that didn't stop her creditors from calling. The closure was unexpected, she says. I had no choice. I have rent to pay, lease payments on equipment, monthly software charges, and loan payments. It sucks. Not one to wallow in self-pity, Williams searched other avenues to generate income and looked to technology for an answer. Zumba, mixed fit, and personal training via Zoom were the ways to go, she says. She used Eventbrite, Facebook, and Instagram to advertise her virtual class offerings. These days, she has an appreciation for the silver lining of COVID-19 cloud. I can reach more personal training clients than I ever could before, she reflects. One of my clients moved to Rhode Island, and now I have her back. The sister of another client lives in California and wants to train with me virtually. I wouldn't have these clients if it weren't for the pandemic. Bootstrapping and baking. In 2013, while still working her 9-to-5 as an accountant, Sydney Perry, 36 years old, joined with her husband, Jermaine, to open Sydney Sweets Desserts Bakery in West Hempstead, New York. In 2016, Perry left her accounting position to focus on the venture full-time. My husband and I used to say, we have no plan B, she confesses. The bakery had to work, and it did. From weddings to baby showers to birthdays to celebrations, Sydney Sweets Desserts became a go-to. But when COVID-19 struck and New York State announced the temporary shuttering of non-essential businesses, Perry saw a major decline in sales. The first week after the lockdown began, we started receiving cancellations. Every event we had on the calendar was canceled, and no one was calling to book new ones. The couple needed to act quickly, and even as they faced the daunting task of homeschooling their 7-year-old son, Perry began baking quarantine-themed cakes. People love them, she exclaimed, and it allows us all to poke fun at an otherwise depressing situation. After she posted a photo of a Lysol-themed cake on Instagram, for example, a customer called her to change her order to Clorox Wipes cake. However, the real savior of this bakery's future has been its cake jars. Each jar is filled with the equivalent of 2 cupcakes, ships nationwide, and stays fresh for 1 week. When our main revenue source was stripped, we found ways to keep going and be successful, Perry says. This will have a positive impact on our business once everything goes back to normal. We'll have our prior revenue plus this new stream. Boost your bottom line. Want to build a better financial future that can withstand seasonal ups and downs? Focus on your net worth. As we face the economic implications of a global pandemic, now is the time to take stock of your finances and create a game plan that will help you weather the storm. And the first step is to get clarity on your own net worth. Your net worth is the sum of what you own, your assets, minus the sum of what you owe your liabilities, explains personal finance coach Nativa Hurd, aka the Frugal Credit Nista of Harrisburg, North Carolina. She categorizes assets as items you possess that have monetary value, liabilities are your outstanding financial obligations. Assets can be your home, investment properties, vehicles, and retirement accounts, as well as the money in your personal savings accounts, she says. Liabilities are all of your debts, from your mortgage, car loan, and student loans to your credit card balances. Before the coronavirus outbreak, the 2017 Road to Zero Wealth report issued by DC organizations, the Institute for Policy Studies, and Prosperity Now predicted that the median wealth of Black Americans was expected to fall to zero by 2053. That's about 10 years after people of color are projected to make up the majority of the nation's population. The current crisis has made matters worse by threatening the economic security of more than 7.3 million Black workers in this country who have been forced to stay home without compensation because they can't earn a single paid sick day. With more than 40% of all Black workers vulnerable to losing wages, which are key for increasing wealth, the need to preserve and bolster our financial foundation is even more urgent, in addition to calling for government policies that directly address the structural inequities, we must focus our energy and resources on ensuring that our assets exceed our liabilities. In doing so, we play an active role in reversing the trajectory of this grim financial forecast. Building wealth is rarely a linear process, especially in these times. The process begins with and intention and ends with a commitment. No matter what the obstacles are, no matter how long it takes, with the help of Heard and Kirsten Sanders, co-founder of Atlanta-based money blog Rich and Regular, we've put together a five-step approach. Whether you want to maintain or grow your wealth, follow this strategy. With perseverance, you will ultimately reap the rewards. First, get clarity. To give yourself a starting point, add up your net value with either a pen and paper or an online net worth calculator. Two, track your progress. Calculate your numbers regularly. Calculate your numbers on a regular basis. Seeing that figure grow or decrease will help you become more aware of your true financial standing. Heard says it can help you decide the right time to acquire more debt or hold on to more cash, and can encourage you to develop a debt payoff plan. Number three, pay attention. Even in economic downturns, opportunities to improve your bottom line exist. Cut unnecessary spending so you can put your money in places where it can grow, like the stock market or real estate, says Sanders. Number four, keep stellar credit. Your net worth may not directly impact your credit scores, Heard says. However, how you use your credit does directly impact your net worth. Having excellent credit can help you save money. You can get lower interest rates on major purchases and snag better deals on basic necessities such as insurance, household utilities, and cell phone plans. And lastly, number five. Play defense and offense. Up your assets and reduce your liabilities at the same time to increase your means. Actively work to decrease expenses by a minimum of 1% and increase income by also a minimum of 1%. By doing this, we become cognizant of our expenses while becoming more in control of the money flow, Heard observes. The next article is called, or is from the section, National Treasures. At every stage of his nearly 30-year career, Emmy Award winner Billy Porter has challenged norms and bucked trends by showing up and unapologetically showing out as his Black gay self. Travail Anderson catches up with the man and the myth at a critical moment in our nation's history. Billy Porter is tired. The 50-year-old multi-finite has become a household name for playing Pray Tell in FX's drama Pose, is exhausted by our community's ongoing fight against police brutality and institutional white supremacy. It's pretty much all we can talk about on a recent morning via Zoom. Outside Black Lives Matter demonstrations in response to the killings of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Ahmaud Arbery, among others, have spread throughout the nation. What we're seeing is a tipping point, Porter says, referencing Malcolm Gladwell's book of the same name. But not just a tipping point over what has happened recently, it's a tipping point 300 years in the making. We are oppressed with malice, afterthought, which is what it's always been in this country, and we're tired of it. The next article is titled, The Irony of Wellness. 2 weeks into COVID-19 pandemic, I called my therapist to cancel our weekly sessions. My consulting work had abruptly shut down, and my husband and I, out of an abundant caution, were taking stock of our finances for the unknown that was ahead. I feared that my stress migraines would come barreling back into my life, but my out-of-pocket sessions with a Black woman therapist who had taken me years to find had to go first, with many of us now in an unemployment limbo. My initial thought wasn't about how to take care of my mental and physical well-being. It was about money, and that is learned behavior. In a society that prioritizes the health of an economy over the health of our communities, my situation is neither unique nor extraordinary. In fact, it's laced with an amount of privilege that has allowed me to obtain mental health care and to be able to write about it on a national platform. Well, wellness shows up in a number of ways. There is one truth that evokes in me both rage and sadness. Black women still don't have the access to wellness and care that they deserve. Black women are called on to carry magnificent burdens. We are asked to lead by example. We are caregivers to not only our children, partners, and parents, but those who employ us and those who have historically used our free labor. We are a major force for political change, yet criticized even as we turn out in record numbers. We have been bestowed titles without our full consent, moral compass, backbone of the Democratic Party, fixer, mammy, suggesting that our country's wellness depends on Black women showing up. And we always do. We do so even when the death rate of COVID-19 disproportionately affects us, and when the Black maternal mortality rate soars and doctors refuse to take our health concerns seriously. And we always do. We do so even when the death rate of COVID-19 disproportionately affects us, and when the Black maternal mortality rate soars and doctors refuse to take our health concerns seriously. We do so while our neighborhoods are choked by polluted air and filthy water. We do so under the watchful white gaze that erodes our confidence and threatens our agency in the corrupt world. In the corporate world, We do so even as our little girls are labeled angry and our boys labeled dangerous. We show up. We make it so that others can engage in wellness and care, and it's usually at our expense. The other day, I asked my yogi best friend what wellness means to her as a Black woman. She landed on the thing, wellness is the ability to say no. In the middle of a global pandemic and an uprising sparked by the nation's police killing Black people with impunity, I want wellness to look like anything that prioritizes Black women. For us, it's not simply about taking supplements, applying face masks, following Instagram live meditations, and burning sage in Palo Santo bundles. For us, wellness is staying alive and thriving while doing so. Eventually, I went back to my therapist. I put aside some of what this country told us was important, and I put me in its place. That's wellness. That's revolution. In the coming months, we're centering wellness and rejecting a world that doesn't operate from a place of care for Black women. We're focusing on the understanding that we are inherently important and worthy. We have come to collect our bounty. We are reclaiming ourselves, and we are saying no. We have run out of time for today's episode of Ebony. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Ebony is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.
The purpose of the North Carolina Reading Service is to connect people who are blind and print impaired with each other, their families, and the community by delivering news, information, and entertainment using the latest audio technology. For more information about the North Carolina Reading Service, visit us online at ncreadingservice.org. You can also give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. The North Carolina Reading Service. We breathe words into your life.